2.
Well, it was the letting in of this new Chelovic that was really the start of my getting out of the old Stadger, for he was such a nasty, quarrelsome type of plenty, with a very dirty mind and filthy intentions, that trouble natchinated that very same day. He was also very boastful, and started to make with a very sneery litso at us all, and a loud, proud galos. He made out that he was the only real horror show prestutnik in the whole zoo, going on that he'd done this and done the other and killed 10 Rozzies with one crack of his rooker and all that cow. But nobody was very impressed, oh my brothers. So then he started on me being the youngest there, trying to say that as the youngest, I ought to be the one to zaznoot on the floor and not him. But all the others were for me, creeching, "Leave him alone, you Grazny Bratchy." And then he began the old whine about how nobody loved him. So that same Notchy, I woke up to find this horrible plenty actually lying with me on my bunk, which was on the bottom of the three-tier, and also very narrow, and he was gover-eating dirty like love slovos and stroking away. So then I got real bazoomny and lashed out, though I could not vidy all that horror show, there being only this malenky little red light outside on the landing. But I knew it was this one, the vonny bastard. And then when the trouble really got underway and the lights were turned on and I could vidy his horrible litso with all crovy dripping from his rot where I'd hit out with my clawing rooker. What slew chatted then, of course, was that my cellmates woke up and started to join in, toll-chocking a bit wild in the near dark, and the shoom seemed to wake up the whole tier, so that you could slushy a lot of creeching and banging about with tin mugs on the wall, as though all the plennies in all the cells thought a big break was about to commence, oh my brothers. So then the lights came on, and the chassos came along in their shirts and trousers and caps, waving big sticks. We could vidy each other's flushed litzos and the shaking of fisty rookers, and there was a lot of creeching and cursing. Then I put in my complaint, and every chasso said it was probably your humble narrator, brothers, that started it all anyway, me having no mark of a scratch on me, but this horrible plenty dripping red crovy from the rot where I'd got him with my clawing rooker. That made me real bazoomly. I said I would not sleep another notchy in that cell if the prison authorities were going to allow horrible, vonny, stinking, perverted prestutniks to leap on my plot when I was in no position to defend myself being asleep. "Wait till the morning," they said. "Is it a private room with bath and television that your honour requires? Well, all that will be seen to in the morning, but for the present, little droog, get your bleeding Gulliver down on your straw-filled padushka and let's have no more trouble from anyone, right? Then off they went with stern warnings for all. Then soon after, the lights went out, and then I said I would sit up all the rest of the notchy, saying first to this horrible prestutnik, "Go on, get on my bunk if you wish it. I fancy it no longer. You have made it filthy and cally with your horrible vonny plot lying on it already." But then the others joined in. Big Jew said, still sweating from the bit of a bitfer we'd had in the dark, "Not having that, we're not, brothers. Don't give in to the squirt." So this new one said, "Crash your dermot, yid," meaning to shut up, but it was very insulting. So then Big Jew got ready to launch a toll-chock. The doctor said, "Come on, gentlemen, we don't want any trouble, do we?" in his very high-class galos. But this new prestutnik was really asking for it. You could vidy that he thought he was a very big Bolshevik and it was beneath his dignity to be sharing a cell with six and having to sleep on the floor till I made this gesture at him. In his sneery way, he tried to take off the doctor, saying, "Oh, you want no more trouble, is that it, Archibalds?" So Joe John, mean and keen and wiry, says, "If we can't have sleep, let's have some education. Our new friend here had better be taught a lesson." Although he liked specialised in sexual assault, he had a nice way of gover-eating, quiet and, like, precise. So the new plenty sneered,
Kish and kosh and koosh, you little terror.
So then it all really started, but in a queer, like, gentle way, with nobody raising his gloss much. The new Plenny creached a Malenki bit at first, but then Wall fisted his rot while Big Jew held him up against the bars so that he could be vidded in the Malenki red light from the landing, and he just went, oh, ah, ah. He was not a very strong type of Vec, being very feeble in his trying to Tolchok back, and I suppose he made up for this by being shoomy in the gloss and very boastful. Anyway, seeing the old Crovy flow red in the red light, I felt the old joy like rising up in my Kishkas, and I said, leave him to me, go on, let me have him now, brothers. So, Big Jew said, yes, yes, boys, that's fair. Losh him then, Alex. So they all stood around while I cracked at this Prestupnik in the near dark. I fisted him all over, dancing about with my boots on, though unlaced, and then I tripped him and he went crash, crash onto the floor. I gave him one real horror show kick on the Gulliver and he went, ah, and then he sort of snorted off to, like, sleep. And the doctor said, very well, I think that will be enough of a lesson. Squinting to viddy this downed and beaten-up Vec on the floor. Let him dream, perhaps, about being a better boy in the future. So, we all climbed back onto our bunks, being very tired now. What I dreamt of, oh my brothers, was of being in some very big orchestra, hundreds and hundreds strong, and the conductor was like a mixture of Ludwig van and G.F. Handel, looking very deaf and blind and weary of the world. I was with the wind instruments, but what I was playing was like a white pinky bassoon made of flesh and growing out of my plot, right in the middle of my belly. And when I blew into it, I had to smack very loud because it, like, tickled. And then Ludwig van G.F. got very razdraz and bazoomny. Then he came right up to my litzo and creached loud in my uko, and then I woke up, like, sweating. Of course, what the loud shoom really was the prison buzzer going brrr, brrr, brrr. It was winter morning, and my glazies were all cally with sleep clue, and when I opened them, they were very sore in the electric light that had been switched on all over the zoo. Then I looked down and vidded this new Prestupnik lying on the floor, very bloody and bruisey and still out, out, out. Then I remembered about last night and that made me smack a bit. But when I got off the bunk and moved him with my bare noga, there was a feel of light stiff coldness, so I went over to the doctor's bunk and shook him, him always being very slow at waking up in the morning. But he was off his bunk scorry enough this time, and so were the others, except for Wall, who slept like dead meat. Very unfortunate, the doctor said. A heart attack, that's what it must have been. Then he said, looking round at us all, you really shouldn't have gone for him like that. It was most ill-advised, really. Joe John said, come, come, Doc, you weren't all that backward yourself in giving him a sly bit of fist. Then Big Jew turned on me, saying, Alex, you were too impetuous. That last kick was a very, very nasty one. I began to get razdraz about this and said, who started it, eh? I only got in at the end, didn't I? I pointed at Joe John and said, it was your idea. Wall snored a bit loud, so I said, wake that Fonny Brachny up. It was him that kept on at his rot while Big Jew here had him up against the bars. The doctor said, nobody will deny having a gentle little hit at the man to teach him a lesson, so to speak, but it's apparent that you, my dear boy, with the forcefulness and, shall I say, heedlessness of youth, dealt him the coup de grace. It's a great pity. Traitors, I said, traitors and liars, because I could vidy that it was all like before, 2 years before, when my so-called droogs had left me to the brutal rookers of the... There was no trust anywhere in the world, oh my brothers, the way I could see it. And Joe John went and woke up Wall, and Wall was only too ready to swear that it was your humble narrator that had done the real dirty toll-chocking and brutality. When the Chassos came along, and then the Chief Chasso, and then the Governor himself, all these cell droogs of mine were very shoomy with tales of what I'd done to Ubivat, this worthless pervert whose crovy-covered plot lay sack-like on the floor. That was a very queer day, oh my brothers. The dead plot was carried off, and then everybody in the whole prison had to stay locked up till further orders, and there was no pishka given out, not even a mug of hot chai. We just all sat there, and the warders, or chassos, sort of strode up and down the tier, now and then creaching, "Shut it," or "Close that hole," whenever they sluiced even a whisper from any of the cells. Then about 11 o'clock in the morning, there was a sort of, like, stiffening and excitement and, like, the von of fear spreading from outside the cell, and then we could vidi the Governor and the Chief Chasso and some very bolshy, important-looking Cheloviks walking by real scorry, govereating like bazoomni. They seemed to walk right to the end of the tier. Then they could be slooshed walking back again, more slow this time, and you could slooshy the Governor, a very sweaty, fatty, fair-haired vex, saying slovos like, "But sir," and, "Well, what can be done, sir," and so on. Then the whole lot stopped at our cell, and the Chief Chasso opened up. You could vidi who was the real important vec right away, very tall, and with blue glazies, and with real horror show platties on him, the most lovely suit, brothers, I had ever vidied, absolutely, in the height of fashion. He just sort of looked right through us, poor Plenny, saying in a very beautiful, real educated gloss, "The government cannot be concerned any longer with outmoded penological theories. Cram criminals together and see what happens. You get concentrated criminality, crime in the midst of punishment. Soon we may be needing all our prison space for political offenders." I didn't pony this at all, brothers, but after all, he was not govereating to me. Then he said, "Common criminals like this unsavoury crowd." That meant me, brothers, as well as the others, who were real prestupniks and treacherous with it, "can best be dealt with on a purely curative basis. Kill the criminal reflex, that's all. Full implementation in a year's time. Punishment means nothing to them, you can see that. They enjoy their so-called punishment. They start murdering each other." And he turned his stern blue glazies on me. So I said, bold, "With respect, sir, I object very strongly to what you said then. I am not a common criminal, sir, and I am not unsavoury. The others may be unsavoury, but I am not." The Chief Chasso went all purple and creeched,
"You shut your bleeding hole, you! Don't you know who this is?"
All right," said this big vec. Then he turned to the Governor and said, "You can use him as a trailblazer. He's young, bold, vicious. Brodsky will deal with him tomorrow, and you can sit in and watch Brodsky. It works all right, don't worry about that. This vicious young hoodlum will be transformed out of all recognition." And those hard slovos, brothers, were like the beginning of my freedom.